All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 6. That's where we'll be this morning. Let's ask God to be with us this morning as we hear His Word. I might take a seat. Let's pray. God, thank You for the blessing of gathering us together this morning. Thank You right now, God, for the blessing of Your Word. We do seek to hear Your voice. God, we ask that Your Spirit would open our hearts, give us tender hearts to hear You. God, we want You to convict us and change us. And God, we do want our lives to glorify You. God, thank You for the gift of this time, and we ask You to speak powerfully right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanksgiving is one of my favorite times of the year for many reasons, but I really enjoy the Thanksgiving holidays. And one of the reasons I enjoy Thanksgiving is the spiritual reason. I need times in my life where I just stop and recognize all the things that God has done for me, for my family, and to just thank God for that and to praise God. I need more than one time a year to do that, but it's good to have at least one time of year when we do that. And then, of course, following Thanksgiving, there's another small holiday that sometimes gets overlooked called Christmas. That's obviously a joke. But in Christmas, at its best, we celebrate the coming of our Savior, and we're generous to those who are in need, and we show our appreciation to one another by giving gifts. And really, this time of year and the spiritual themes that are a part of this time of year are very special to me and are very important to me in my own spiritual walk. Of course, there's also a dark side to the holidays, and we know this. This isn't anything shocking or new. And when we think of the Christmas season, we think of materialism and greed and large shopping lists and stress and afterwards debt. I was reading this week even that they were talking about the death of Black Friday. And that sounds like maybe a good thing. I don't know. But when I read more about the article, not necessarily, because in the old days, you may remember a long, long time ago that after Christmas, after Thanksgiving, everyone would go shopping for Christmas. And you might get up even early and go shopping for Christmas. And so it was this great event. And I've been a part of Black Friday many, many times. It can be a lot of fun. But then, I mean, why need to wait till Black Friday? Because you can also open on Thanksgiving. And so now a number of stores open on Thanksgiving. But forget that, because many stores now have sales and specials that take place well before Thanksgiving. Of course, with online shopping, you can now order and take advantage of specials well before Thanksgiving. And so the Christmas season now, there's no need to just limit Black Friday as the day that the stores go in the black. We can do that on Thanksgiving Day and even before Thanksgiving Day. And so all those developments simply are. I don't know if they're good or bad. I know they're driven by the economy and by a desire to make a profit. They simply are. And the challenge for us, especially as believers, is to make sure we don't lose sight of the spiritual meaning of these holidays and how they can be spiritually beneficial to us. And so this church, for the second year, we're going to celebrate Advent Conspiracy. Barry just mentioned that. And actually, we have celebrated Advent for as long as I've been here, maybe as long as the church has been in existence. But Advent Conspiracy is these four special sessions, four special lessons in the 4 weeks coming up to Christmas, where we devote ourselves to worshiping fully. And just as when Christ came to this world, the shepherds and the angels and the magi and others give praise to God because of the coming of Jesus, we want to worship fully. We want to spend less, especially on ourselves, but give more, be more open-handed and generous towards others, and then remember the importance of loving all. And our hope is through this series, to, as you can see with that Christmas tree, it's turned upside down, you know, turn upside down the holiday season. Actually, I like the language better of turning it right side up. You know, we're not trying to turn things upside down. We just want to turn things right side up and see things rightly. And let this time of year be a true blessing to us and not simply a time of, again, stress, debt, constantly trying to get more, and constantly being unsatisfied. And so we look forward to the series of lessons and then opportunities we have as a church to give more, projects that we have that we can give more to, and those even outside of what we do here as a church, you know, in our schools and other organizations. It's just a time of year when we can be open-handed and we can be generous, and we hope as a church we will do that together. When we think of the Apostle Paul, I think of many things. Apostle Paul was a great thinker, and we have many of his letters, and people pour themselves into those letters, and there's so many deep thoughts that he shares in those letters that he wrote to churches. We think of Paul as a great evangelist. He went out and shared the gospel with many people. We think of him as a great church planter. He planted churches throughout the known world of his time. But Paul was also involved in his ministry and in his life in a great benevolence project. It's called the Jerusalem Collection. And even when we look in the New Testament letters, there's a lot that's said in the New Testament about the Jerusalem Collection, and it was obviously important to the heart of Paul. So what was the Jerusalem Collection all about? Well, there was a famine in Jerusalem in the mid-40s. So about 44 to 48 is when we think it was at its height. But there was a severe famine. Luke talks about it in Acts chapter 11. We have several Roman historians that talk about this famine in Jerusalem. A famous Jewish historian, Josephus, talks about the famine in Jerusalem. And so it was a time of great need in that city. So Paul goes to those churches that he has been working with, that he's helped plant, that he's preached in those cities, and he's encouraging them to take up a collection. And he's overseeing this collection. He's going to make sure it gets to the saints in Jerusalem. But he's overseeing this great benevolence project where they can take up this collection, take that money, bless those Christians in Jerusalem who are suffering in this time of famine. Paul talks about this collection in several of his letters. One place where he talks about it is in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. And this morning we're going to pick up the end of this discussion and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 6. So let's read this together. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, and in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their heart will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. And as we approach Thanksgiving this week, I'm struck by this text, how for Paul there's this connection between giving and being generous and thanksgiving. And first thing we see here in this text is that when we are thankful people, when we recognize what God has done for us, then we can be open-handed. We can be generous towards others. In this section, Paul ends there in verse 15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. And what is that indescribable gift? I think Paul's a little vague here, and we can add a lot of things. I mean, God has been gracious to us in so many ways. But it seems His indescribable gift, right, is Jesus Christ. I mean, that's His indescribable gift that He's given us. And in fact, a little earlier there, and Gary read this for the Lord's Supper, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, Paul says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich." What has God given for us? Well, He's given us His only Son. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, became a human being. He lived among us. He showed us the Father. He died for our sins. God has given us everything. And when we recognize this indescribable gift of God, it leads us to have thankful hearts. And this thankful hearts that we have overflow into generosity towards others. And so Paul is encouraging these Corinthians, Christians, to give to the poor in Jerusalem. It's important, he says, when they give, that they give with cheerful hearts. This isn't something he's commanding them to do. He doesn't want them to come grudgingly and give a little bit. He wants them to recognize what God has done for them. And then with thankful hearts, with cheerful hearts, to be willing to contribute to the needs of others. And Paul says that there is a promise with this. If we look here in chapter 9, verse 8, which we just read in verse 8, he says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need," he's emphatic there, right? "All things, all times, all you need, you will abound in every good work." Paul says if we are generous and open-handed to others, God's promise is He will bless us more richly than we could ever imagine. And it may not be that we have the biggest car in the driveway in the neighborhood at work, or we have the biggest home in our neighborhood, but God will bless us in ways more than we can ever imagine. And by the way, we know those other things don't really bring true joy anyway, right? I mean, the best car doesn't bring true joy. The biggest house doesn't bring true joy. But God will bless us in ways that we could never imagine if we'll just trust Him and be generous. And so when we're thankful, when we recognize what God has done for us, we have thankful hearts that lead us to be generous to others. Then Paul says also, when we are generous, others give thanks to God. In verse 13, actually let's go to verse 12. "This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God." And so when the Corinthian Christians give what they have for the sake of the poor in Jerusalem, not only are they giving, but those in Jerusalem who receive these gifts, what do? Well, they give praise to God. And they give thanks to God because of the way God has blessed them, supplied their needs. He's taken care of them. And so their generosity leads to more thanksgiving. I think it's interesting to see as well that for Paul, whenever we give to others, this isn't just a one-way giving. There's a group of people who have material goods. And so in our generosity, we're going to take care of these poor Christians in Jerusalem. And we're the givers, they're the receivers. That's not how Paul thinks of this. Because in verse 14 he says, "In their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you." There's a mutual giving here. In this instance in particular, there's a mutual giving because the Jerusalem Christians had made sure that the gospel had come to the Gentiles, those in Corinth and in other places who weren't Jews. But then also as the Gentiles gave to the Jewish Christians, they would lift them up and their hearts and their prayers to God. We know that Scripture talks often how the poor are rich in faith. And so these individuals who may not have much in terms of material goods, but who may be rich in faith, bless us and lift us up to the Father in their prayers. And so we recognize what God has given to us. We're thankful for that. And then out of an awareness of what God has given to us, now this heart of thanksgiving we give to others, they thank God. There's this mighty chorus of praise and of thanksgiving that we get to be a part of, that Paul paints here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And really, it's a beautiful picture of contentedness, of joy, of peace, of recognition of the blessings we have from God, of a willingness to share with others so that we can all be blessed together. We can all thank God together. A beautiful picture, but we know that we can often be stingy, right? We can often be closed-fisted. We not always want to give to others and to be open-handed. So why is it? Let me go back to that. Why is it so hard for us to be open-handed? Well, one reason I think it's hard for us to be open-handed is our selfishness. When I've worked hard to get the things that I have, I deserve it. And so we just want to hang on to what God has given us. And I have found that with most great lies, there's always an element of truth to them, right? That's what makes them such great lies. And it's even the case of something as simple as selfishness. Many of us do work hard. And God does want us to enjoy the fruits of our labor. I mean, that's part of work. We work hard. We get to enjoy the fruits of our labor. That's even part of the reward that God has in store for us. But if we don't have thankful hearts, we're going to miss all the good things God has done for us and how even the things we have that we've worked hard for can even be traced back to the blessings of God in our lives. And so maybe we do have a good job, and maybe we can go and work hard at our job. And if we think about growing up and the opportunities we had that maybe others didn't have, doors that were open for us that may not have been open for other people, just basic stability that we have in our lives, a job that we have in our lives, we see so many ways that God has blessed us. And hopefully it tempers our selfishness and helps us be a little more open-handed. Thanksgiving and a thankful heart is the antidote to selfishness. And during this time of year and at all times, if we can just think about and remember the blessings God has given us, the opportunities we have that God has made available to us, I do think it helps temper our selfishness, helps us to be open-handed, helps us to be willing to give to others in need. A second reason I think it can be hard to be open-handed and to be generous is simply because we lack faith. Maybe we're on the other spectrum financially. Maybe we don't have much, and we need to hang on to what we have. We want to hang on to that because we're not sure if God will provide. And I think it's important to see here Paul's vision, even. If you go to chapter 8 and verse 12, Paul's vision with the Jerusalem collection isn't that now those in Jerusalem would have much while those in Corinth would have little. His desire, he says, is equality. So in chapter 8, verse 12, "If the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. Paul's goal here is that people would give what they're able to give. The heart matters. He does want them to give. The gift doesn't have to be as large as others. And the goal, he says, is equality, that we all contribute, that we all share, that those in Jerusalem who face famine have an opportunity to have equality with those in Corinth who have plenty. And so the goal here isn't that if we don't have much, that we give even what little we have away and we have nothing. But Paul does want us to trust God to give what we can, to do so with cheerful hearts. And giving can be a demonstration of our faith in God. God, we trust you that you're going to provide for our needs. You have provided for our needs. You'll continue to do that. And God, we trust that you'll continue to take care of us. A third reason I think it's so hard to be open-handed is we have false gods or misplaced priorities. You know, we just want our families, and in particular, we just want our kids to be happy. We want them to be happy during the holidays. And so we may not have false gods that are wooden idols or golden statues, but a God can be anything that we put our ultimate trust in. We find it as our source of security, our source of significance, fulfilling our desires. And so we think that these other things, this endless Christmas list, will somehow bring happiness, will sometimes somehow bring joy or somehow bring peace. And yet again, we know that that's not the case. We all know people who have plenty of things and who simply don't have the joy of God, don't have the peace that He gives us. And so again, God is calling us here to recognize that the Lord is God, and that if we trust Him, if we are open-handed as He is open-handed, He will give us true joy. He'll give us true peace during the holiday season and at other times as well. And so as we enter the Thanksgiving season and as we turn to the Christmas season, I hope we recognize here this connection between Thanksgiving, between giving, that we'll seek true joy, true peace through this time of year, have thankful hearts that recognize what God has done for us, be willing to participate in Advent conspiracy, maybe spend a little less. It's not getting completely rid of our spending, but spend a little less. Have open hearts that will give more. And in doing that, finding the true purpose, the true meaning of these seasons. And the interesting thing about giving and thanksgiving, God isn't calling us to do something He hasn't done. When we look at Jesus Christ, we see the generosity of God towards us. We see the giving nature of God towards us. He calls us to imitate that. We're not left alone. He gives us His Spirit. And His Spirit can help us be generous, gracious givers. His Spirit can help us have true joy and true peace. So let's go to God in prayer at this time. God, thank you for your word, and we do thank you for this time of year. And God, we thank you how during this time, at its best, we are reminded of important things, of having thankful hearts, of being generous and participating, God, in your generosity, and recognizing and remembering what you've done for us in Jesus Christ and His death, His resurrection. God, how we have been blessed through Him. God, by your Spirit, shape us to look more like Jesus. Help us have the heart that He has. Help us to have your eyes during this holiday season. Help us have thankful and giving hearts. And this is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.